Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy of it all, Father. We magnify you. We give you all the praise and glory and all that you are. From you came all things. Back to you goes all things. You deserve all the glory, praise, and honor. We praise and magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Lo severandia closo. Be alla close the jade. For I commission you to give me praise for the things which are to be. From me come all things. Back to me, these things come back. For in the days ahead, as I have prophesied to you, and as you have spoken one to another over many, many seasons of that which is to fill the house, know this, that it has always been from the beginning, as I said, in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit. On that day began those last days. And my providential will for all generations have always been that men stop and worship me and bring into effect everything that was prophesied in those last days. Know this, that your future is bound. It is bound by the words that you have spoken over this house. Continue. Continue to worship me. For the things that you know in the Spirit are coming to pass now, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Begin to condition your heart and your mind to say that revival is among us. Do not look to the future continually. Possess the present, saith the Spirit of grace. Speak among yourselves and say what mighty works the Lord is bringing into the house. That the blind see and the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the mighty, mighty revival of my passion is brought forth, saith the Spirit of grace. For I say unto you that revival is among you and has always been among you. Reach out now. Possess those things that are evident to you that I have already provided. And you will see these things coming to pass, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Will you do that with me right now? Will you just thank Him?
Hallelujah.
For what already is.
Thank you, Jesus.
For what already is, we worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. We give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. We thank you that today we possess the promises of the cross. Everything that was provided for us in our inheritance. We worship you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name, that all these things are ours today, not just somewhere in the future, but today, Lord, we worship you and give you all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He sees you when you set your time aside to spend with Him, and He's so pleased. He's saying, continue to pray in your heavenly language. The Spirit of God has given you that heavenly language. Continue to pray. Allow me to purge those things from you that keep you from all that I have for you. My desire is to see the lost saved. My desire is to be able to use this body to see the lost like I see them. To love the lost like I see them. I know your frustrations. I see when you say, Lord, is this doing anything? He's saying, my beloved, it is doing so much. It is doing so much for yourself. He's saying it's not for me, it's for you, so I can use you for this lost city. He says that He loves you. He's faithful.
Yes.
And He will do what He's promised to do. But He's saying He's so well pleased. Continue setting that time aside. Worship. Pray in the heavenly language that I've baptized you in. He is so well pleased.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
We receive this from you, Lord.
Yes.
We worship you, Father. We will not stop. Would you lift your hands and give Him the glory?
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Father. We magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you.
Worship you.
To you, all these things go back. From you they proceed and they go back to you, Father. We worship you. We'll not stop in our pursuit. We exalt you. We praise and magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We will possess the land. We will possess this land. We worship you. We glorify you and magnify you with all that is within us. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We worship you. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. You've heard our prayers, Father. We worship you. Let the administration of angels, as they minister to you, Jesus, by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let the power of God rain out of heaven. The myriads of angels over this city. Your presence be felt. Father, I pray that as the Holy Spirit rules in our homes and in our services, under the direction of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that your angels will saturate this city, will saturate our coming and going, that we'll continually brush into these spirits that you have provided for us. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. And just continue to worship Him and get comfortable in the Spirit. Wherever that means to you, standing, sitting. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Makalese frebechala sana. Masokalese vedipiratie. For religion has taught you. The religion, self-induced teachings. There was an earning. But know this, that if that same Spirit, being that new nature that raised up Christ from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead, being your Father, shall likewise quicken your mortal bodies. For the same power that I gave the firstborn, I give unto you through the new nature. The moment that you understand and come forth, know this, that nothing shall be able to separate you. Nothing. Not life, not death, principalities or powers, angels, things present, things to come, height or depth, nothing shall be able to separate you from my love at all times. And I tell you, saturate this city penetrate the forces of darkness. For the strongest one in this city, the strongest one in this city or in this region that literally worships the spirit of darkness and has practiced his magic all of their life does not compare in all of their glory and darkness to what I have provided to the very least of saints who have not yet even been filled with my Holy Ghost, saith the Spirit of grace. Why would you fear darkness? Why do you contemplate that I will not come? I will come. I will come on your words. When you speak, I will come. When you trust me, I will come. Nothing has the power over you. Nothing has the power over you except that which you've submitted to. Receive of my grace and walk as the firstborn, knowing this, that where you go, I go. What you say, I will say through my Holy Spirit. Evangelize this city with power. Speak. Lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick and do not take the responsibility for the healing, but let me take that. You have nothing to lose in choosing to walk in faith. For many of your reports will come after. I will follow, saith the Spirit, as I said in my word. Many of you have looked for evidence of the miracle immediately. And because of it, you've not continued in your ministry. Lay hands, speak, and walk away giving me praise. And listen to the aftermath. Listen to the things that I will do when you are not even present, saith the Spirit of grace. But I say unto you again, do not fear the enemy. I am raising up a people who will be very bold in my spirit. The days of the anointing of the prophets and the prophetesses are not over. Speak my word even against your own weaknesses, for I'm changing you. He cannot even stop you in your own present weaknesses of change if you will continue to give me what I'm asking. And as I said in my prophecy, just coming, that if you will continue to pray in my spirit, this is all the authority that I need to change you. And even in your weaknesses, I will raise up strong in the workings of miracles and power. Go into the darkest of places. I bid you go. I bid you through my spirit, not of your own boldness, but of my spirit, to challenge the gainsayers. For my spirit will not let you down, and you will not be ashamed, saith the Spirit of the Lord. There is a fear in the last days. Men's hearts will fail them for the fear that is coming. But this fear is not yours, for I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Yours will seem to border on the border of arrogance, but it will not be arrogance. Speak. When you enter into places, do you not know that my sayings have not passed away? They are faithful and true. I told the original 12 and 70 to do this. When you enter into a place, speak my peace. If that place is worthy of my peace will come upon it. If not, it will return to you. Know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. I have sent you forth as ambassadors to create atmosphere wherever you go. You lack understanding. You lack faith in these things because you've not done them. But understand that in your weakest moment, you are so much more powerful. that those who taunt themselves with great power and darkness walk about the city, walk into places of business, and speak and release my peace. And pray that a worthiness out of intercession come upon that place, that I will come and work. I will work in the bars. I will work in the houses of prostitution. I will come into the places where you least expect me, if you will release. I am asking you. I need your voice in this earth. I need your authority. Do not despise the sinner. I love them like I love you. They are my family. Ask of me of the nations, and I will give unto you, saith the Spirit of grace. This is a great harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He send forth labors into this harvest. I ask you simply not only to be my church, but to act like my church. Do not despise your own weaknesses as if to put your focus upon them. You've placed your lordship in a place of change where you've put your focus upon your weaknesses. Change. Change that. Look unto me. I celebrate you. As I said in the last prophecy, that I'm very pleased. I celebrate you as sons and daughters. I have brought you behind the veil. You are my Shulamite bride. You are the one that I cherish. I hold. I hold. I gave my life's blood for you. My intimacy is beyond description of words. I said this through those who wrote songs about my love for my bride. And yet, the fullness was not yet spoken. I can only do this through the witness inside of you. Be confident. Run to the fight. Do not shy away with a spirit of timidity, but speak my word and rest in me, and I will bring it to pass, saith the Spirit of grace. Many of you have been wanting to exercise the gifts of miracles. Do not look to the church to be your stage. Very few of you will have a stage where it's seen up front. I'm asking you to exercise my miracles in the streets. I will come for you like I come for anyone, saith the Spirit of grace. I am no respecter of persons. Many of you have wanted a voice to speak in the church. Forget the voice in the church. Speak in the streets. Let this be your pulpit, in your business, in the byways, in the highways. This is my church unleashed, saith the Spirit of grace. It was never meant for a particular location. It was never meant. It was meant to go into places. Watch what I did in the Gospels. I healed the sinner. I healed the prostitute. I healed those. I ministered to them. Release my glory. Release my glory and watch me come. Receive these words. You are our high priest, Jesus. Secure that candlestick. Let ours burn before the throne of grace. We bid you, as you've come and corrected us in love and encouraged us, we receive all these things. We receive them not of men, but of God, and of grace and of truth. Soon hereafter, the wicked one will come once again to abolish these words make them very stale. Our ears very dull of hearing. But I pray these things will sink into our hearts, far beyond our minds, but into our hearts. Let us understand. Let nothing be taken from us. Father, we love You. We exalt You. We give You all the glory and praise. Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Just all the everything that was being spoken to us, the reason I played that song, I heard as toward the end you called high priest, you called excuse me Jesus our high priest, and that song was already on my heart, so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take that as the reason, you know, we need to play this and hear it. And have understanding, you know, myself included, most of our walk, most of our Christianity, it's about us, you know. It's really about us. It's attaining the benefits of knowing Christ. And surely His desire is for us to live in those benefits. You know, He is the Prince of Peace. You know, all of His ways are peace and they belong to us. He was anointed with the oil of joy above all of humanity combined so that we can walk in that joy. And those are surely for us, but how much of our life and how much even do we come here, how much of our worship is really based on us and gaining the benefits of knowing Christ? Most of it, I would say. And that's okay because He knows that. In a sense, but He wants to take us past that. We're a priesthood of believers. Jesus is the high priest. In the beginning, God wanted family. You know, He was so overwhelmed with love, He had to create that outflow of love. I was sharing with Marty the other day that there's a song that's, you know, sort of about that, and you know, the singers are singing the word back and forth, and one of them says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the other singer sings, what was in your heart when you made man? Right? He loves us. His desire is for us. Right? He, in the beginning, He created. In the beginning, He desired a family. He desired a priesthood as well because He said, let us make man in our image, right? So Jesus is the high priest. He's passed through the heavens. As the song was singing, and I'm certain that most of us were taking that song, again, myself included, as this is to our benefit. You made a way for me so that I could be healed and whole. Amen. This is what He really wants. He wants us to step into the priesthood of the believer. Right? He wants us to step into the priesthood, which is the place where we stand before the Father, holding the blood of Jesus up. I love that. Bronk did it the other day, and it's something that I see often, is us holding up the blood of Jesus over this city, over our family, as priests. In the establishment of the priesthood in the Old Testament, and I think I mentioned this recently when I came up here, you know, God talks about the priesthood distinguishing the holy from the common. So when we enter in behind the veil and we enter in by the blood of Jesus and we stand before this holy God, not just for our benefit, but to minister to Him as the eternal God, the one who's unsearchable, the one who's uncreated, the one that's the everlasting to everlasting. We minister to Him, and we come into this place with Him where not only do we come to know Him, we are fully known ourselves, and we stand there, and we understand, we begin to understand the things that are on His heart. Not just to our benefit, but so that then we turn around and we come out of the Holy of Holies and we minister the benefit to those that don't know. That's what priests do. We stand before the Holy of Holies in the place of intercession. Jesus Himself, as the song sings, forever lives to make intercession. What does Jesus pray? Why does Jesus pray? Doesn't He know everything? Doesn't He see everything? Yeah, but He prays. He's interceding. The priesthood of the believer is the place to go in there with Jesus, find the things on His heart, and begin to pray. To stand here, I'm believing more and more. I mean, I love church. I love church, and it's the best place to be. But are we coming for our benefit, or are we coming here as a house of priests, as a gathering of priests to stand before God, to find out what's on His heart and contend for it over our families, over our neighborhoods and our city and our state, our nation, to find the purposes of God, to understand that this one who's not in need of anything says that He was working all things after the counsel of His own will, also is working those things after His good pleasure. And He's invited us into a place of His good pleasure, a place to enter in, a place to find the things that are on His heart, the things that please Him, the things that He's desiring for other people, the things that He's desiring on the earth. We're crying out for His return, but we lack understanding. His return, as He draws near, things are shaking and they're going to shake all the more. But it's to our good. It's to His benefit, to our benefit, to the benefit of the people. And we're only going to understand that in that place as a priest. Otherwise, it's all going to be about our benefit. And then it's going to be about other people's benefit in our own eyes, and not with understanding. And those are hard words, but I think if you'll read through and search this out and begin to see that God's heart is for people, but we've got to understand His ways. And the priesthood is the one that discerns the holy from the common. He didn't say the holy from the evil. He said the holy from the common. The common is our way of thinking. The holy is His way of thinking. And He's invited us into that. His ways are always and forever higher than our ways. And if we don't enter into that place of the priesthood, we're just going to be stuck in our ways and seeking things for our benefit and seeking things on a baser level than what's really on His heart for other people. So when I heard you say high priest, and everything in that prophecy was about doing that, was about walking out our life as a priest, knowing the things of God, not being intimidated by the things out there. That's where the ministry is. This is the place to stir up and find the heart of God and then go out. Right? It's not a place to do our duty. It's not a place to just come be. God is good. His desire is for us. I encourage you to read the book of Ephesians, you know, the whole word. How do you ever say, my favorite scripture is, but that was yesterday because I got a new one today. But in the first chapter of Ephesians, I just love it because You know, everything is in those first few verses is about God to us. God has made us. God abounded toward us. God is He's working all things. Man, I usually can go right through those. But He's working all things according to His good pleasure. He's accepted us in the Beloved. It's all about God to us. All the way through, culminating with Paul's prayer, say, Father of glory, I ask You, grant to Your people the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open their eyes so they can see what I'm talking about, and then they can take their place seated with You in the heavenly heavenlies, setting their mind on things what? Above, and not on things of the earth. That's not about going to heaven. That's about right here, right now. That's present tense. Setting our mind on things above. What's on Your heart, God? I got to know. Help me. Help me see it Your way. Deliver me from my own ways and the ways that I see. I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of my understanding. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. We receive that. Wasn't that wonderful? Praise God. Thank you, Matt. Praise God. It was Matt was exhorting, and we were listening to those words. And the simple sayings of the Holy Spirit in these last couple of prophecies that have come. I was reminded that when the first church started, they did not have the Bible. They didn't. It certainly wasn't printed, and it was in the process of being written. And so it wasn't like they could say, okay, show that to me from Scripture. That argument didn't exist, okay? They didn't say, okay, the Old Testament was in the synagogue, and sorry, you ladies didn't read at all. And the guys, and if you were fortunate enough to not have to work in the field and be trained, you could be trained and actually could read, and most Jewish young men, sorry, ladies, you weren't literate. Intelligent, yes. Literate, no. So you couldn't go and verify a truth based on Scripture. You couldn't, because you couldn't read. But there was something given to the first church that was comparable to the Word of God that caused them to have the essence to say, I'll go out and do what I've heard, because it agrees with the letter that came from Paul, and that letter was written. And sometimes Paul would say, cause this letter to be read to the next church as well. And that was the Holy Spirit. And that was the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that was the prophecies that were given. Simply, what I'm saying is this. They did not have the training through Scripture like, okay, when I get trained, see, I really, and I'm all into training, because as the sheep are born, as the little ones are brought in, I believe you do have to disciple them. I believe we're going to have good, godly stuff to disciple them. And that's the mind of Christ, because He meant for this latter-day church to be more than even the beginning. It had to start somewhere. The first century church did not have the Word of God in their lap. They didn't. They couldn't sit at home and study it. They couldn't. Basically, what they had was the apostles and prophets speaking the word. They tried their best to remember it. They had an occasional letter that they cherished, that they cherished like crazy. They had the Old Testament, but that was not, they most of them couldn't possess that. That was tucked away in a Jewish synagogue somewhere. So they had to depend upon the Holy Spirit. I believe the 21st century church is so trained, but so powerless. We are trained. And yet we do nothing with it. And I'm not indicting you. I'm just saying what Matt was saying and what I believe that you agree with. Because the first church, all they did was, it was just real simple. Go out, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They didn't, you know, we remember Jesus said this, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't even written, so they couldn't say, this is what it says. And those were in the process, and those men were in the process of writing them. And you know, like even Paul didn't live to be but about like 65 years old. So many of the people outlived And it was towards the end of their life that they wrote many of those epistles. They just simply took that unction inside of them and said, okay, we've been born again, and we'll go out and do what He said. And you know what? Amazing enough, God showed up. And they didn't even have Scripture to back it up with, hardly. They just went and did through obedience. God said, Jesus said, if I lay my hands on you, you will recover. And the high priest followed Him. Isn't that great? So how much more? I mean, we've got all this Word in us now and all these teachings. Well, I need to go to another seminar. I don't know if I'm prepared for this. I don't know if I'm prepared for casting out devils. You're about, word-wise, I can tell you, the least in here, if you've been coming to church, you're about 10 times more prepared word-wise as far as what you've heard than the first century Christian. They could not go to Hebrews and compare it with Ephesians. And they could not take the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That wasn't there yet. It was still being written. And so they had to take the unction of the Holy Spirit and just go do it. So, hallelujah. What does that say? Just go do it. Hallelujah. Just go do it. 30 years ago, I know you can't believe this because you'll probably think, wow, he must have just been born. 30 years ago, I turned down 82 from 29, I think it was, going home because I was a little bit younger then, coming out of college, just graduate. A guy had sent me out here, what they call presbyter of our denomination, sent me out here to audition for a church. Now, they wanted me. They took me to probably the only steakhouse that Immokalee had at the time, and they said the elders loved your preaching. I don't know what I preached on. It was probably false doctrine. It probably was really bad. I had the worst time in the world telling the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, I wasn't praying like I pray now. I didn't understand praying in tongues. The denomination that I went to believed in praying in tongues. They just didn't believe that you just did it anytime you wanted to because you wanted to. Okay, but they did give me a basis of saying, you can pray in tongues. And I was Spirit-filled. Only time I think, well, maybe a few times you forget you're speaking. You think maybe because this is highlighted in my mind. Turned on 29, sun going down, going towards the west. And the Holy Spirit came in the car. Candy sitting next to me. I didn't even say anything to her at the time. It was like He was really in the car. It was just like a voice was speaking to me. It was almost like it's one of those things where you think the person next to you could probably hear it. But it was that vivid. The Lord said, you'll not take this church now, but you will return to Immokalee someday, to pastor a church. The peace that was in that car was incredible. It was like a minute of euphoria, like, oh my God. It was very reluctant for me to tell that presbyter that, no, I'm not supposed to take the church. Why? I don't know why I'm not supposed to take it now. I later came out of that denomination. I later, a lot of different things, went through very many years of business and was in construction business, which I really liked. Loved. And then, by the providence, if you use that word, it was the direction of the Holy Spirit. Somebody prayed me over here. Now, the demographics don't work. They really don't work. Most of probably everybody that's in here, or half of everybody that's in here, came from someplace else. We want to evangelize Immokalee, and it seems like half of our people are coming from someplace else. I think that's a wonderful compliment to the power of God to draw you. I applaud you that have come from Lehigh, Fort Myers, Alva, Naples, Felda, LaBelle, wherever you come from. We're not just after a city. We're after a region. One thing I know about this, about my desire, I know that this is not a one-man show. We're after an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how much I agree with everything that Matt said. As maturing adults in Christ, there is a place where you begin to evolve, if you want to use that. That's probably not the best word, but maybe it's something to wrap your mind around. Past a place of your own necessities. You still know they're there in the peripheral, but you begin to understand that it's more than just about you. It's more than, and developing that place of high priesthood, you begin to say, this really is about other people. It really is about the call. It really is about the lost. Why? Because at some place He convinces you that He's really going to take care of you. You love Him because He first loved you. Now that is a place of development. And it's a place that we all should come to. But you know what the calling card is? The calling card for those that are not yet born again and those that are not yet developed, you can't hardly tell them, come and be a part of this because it's He's just so wonderful to love. And He really is. The calling card first, the threshold, is the same thing that He did. He went out of the wilderness and the blind and the maimed and the halt, He showed them, because they did not know how much He loved them to start with, He showed them, this is the will of your Father. I want to do this. So the miracles and the benefits were always the first call. That came first. And then as He introduced them to the benefits, His will was that they understood that once they were healed, then it's not just about them anymore. It goes further than that. It goes into a place where they've got a call to evangelize the world around them. Isn't that wonderful? So many of us have not yet developed to that place. I often come in here and I'm thinking about me. I don't know if you've noticed, I haven't intended this. I think maybe it is something that I'm looking back and saying, look, wow, maybe through grace we are developing to that point where we're looking less and less at ourselves, although it's not evolving quite as fast as sometimes as I think the Holy Spirit wants it. But I've noticed that over the last few years, there hasn't been nearly the grace lines. It was like for a while when we first began, it was like every service, it was a grace line. You know what? Grace is great. But sometimes that can develop in, it's all about, I'm coming to church for it to be all about me and all about me. It seems like we've gone through, over the last couple of years, we may go through for several services before there's anything. And again, in case your mind twists this, you're always welcome to come and ask for prayer. That's what we're about. Let the elders of the church lay hands on the sick. But it is a development. The Lord said, you'll not take that church now, you'll take a church later. I believe God's all about souls. I want to tell you, all of you that give weekly, monthly, whenever you give, how much I appreciate what you do. How much I appreciate whatever you do. Because you're giving at a time where there's not seemingly a whole lot. Listen, if we were, sometimes it's really good to get on something that's moving. And believe me, hear this correctly. I am never criticizing something that's got a momentum with it. Why would I criticize a place where we're going? Like if you're looking at a ministry that is truly a called ministry and there's TV lights and there's a call there and thousands are getting saved, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying this. Sometimes people get on board with something when they see the momentum. Right now, there's no property being built. If we had 5, 6, 7 millionaires in here and $100,000 offerings were being taken up and we had all the money we needed and we were buying a piece of property and the building was going up and TV cameras were staring us in the face, and there was a outreach and a whole lot of going and emotion. And I'm not saying a bad motion, but emotion was going, and people would think, man, that's something to get on board with because there's life there, there's teeming, and people are doing something, and there's evangelism taking place. Listen, that's not yet happening yet. Basically, up to this point, we've seen a lot of fight. But listen, it's not over yet. I started to say the other thing, but the skinny lady hasn't sang yet. And when she does sing, it's going to be to the glory of God. But you're giving at a time where you don't see the motion. Listen, if I wasn't what I am fivefold, the next thing that I would want to be, the next thing that I would want to be that could affect more people's lives than probably any other call, I'd want to be a giver. I would want to be called to the ministry. Because when you sponsor somebody that is doing something that truly has a heart for God, and you're really doing along with them, if your motivation is, Lord, I want to bless my family, but equal to that, I just want to pour as much. I believe in what this guy's doing. I believe in what this ministry's doing. And I'm going to do whatever I can to push it forward towards the last day, to minister to it. That would be what I, if God ever said, you do something different, which I'm sure He won't, I would want to be a money man. I'd want to make money. And I would give, I'd find a place where I trusted somebody, and I really trusted them and believed in them, and I'd give everything I possibly could. I'd make the money so I could give it for that purpose. I'd want to sponsor. You're helping sponsor this house. One day it's going to have momentum. One day, because the demographic, listen, if I'd have done this by my mind and started a church by my mind, I'd have went to Naples or someplace where there's more people and more affluent people. And I would have thought it out. Listen, most of you in here are sharper than me. But I can tell you this, I do have a brain. I can figure out how to build a church demographically faster than what we've done here. But I can tell you this, we've chosen to follow the Holy Spirit. We've chosen somebody knows and they'll know who I am when I, or know who they are, that I'm speaking to them in a good way. They said, when we got to your church, she said, the last church we went to, it was all about visitation, visitation, visitation. We found out once we started coming to your church, you just don't care if we come back anymore. It is all about people, but it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers to us. Hallelujah. So presently we don't have a program, but I can tell you this, we do have the Holy Spirit. You're giving at a time where you can't see the lights. You're giving at a time where you're saying, wow, what are they doing? We are praying, we are dying, and we are having some of the best Holy Spirit possible. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In just a moment, you'll get a chance to greet one another. Don't leave. Miss Callie's going to sing afterwards. How many of our football team do we have here this morning? Come on. You guys stand up. Stand up, man. I had the opportunity to go to one of the, and it's always best when you win, right? You say, that was the best game ever. These guys have went through 4 playoff games. They are now, there's 160 5A schools in the state of Florida. They are one of 2 that's left to play next Friday for the state championship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we went Friday night to drove to Miami. Thousands of people in a big stadium. And it was one of those games back and forth. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, can you pray for favor? I don't know if you can or not, but I did. There's thousands of people over there looking at me. They may be praying, too. Okay. But our boys did good. It was a fight. It was like one of those games back and forth, whoever wanted it the most. And we wanted it the most. Hallelujah. So it was 7-7 at the half, coming out, and we were like, oh, man, whoever catches fire here, you know. And Mr. Mack called an interception. There he is. Took it all the way to the house. And, yeah. So Friday at 1 o'clock, they'll play in Orlando for the state championship. And I will be there unless Jesus comes back, and then you can't. So I encourage you to just, if you get a chance, at Friday at 1 o'clock, it's just a short 3.5-hour drive, 4-hour drive. But we're proud of them. Many of them, a lot of that first string comes here on Sunday nights and are being taught the things of the Holy Spirit, which I'm sure they'll carry with them through the rest of their life. Hallelujah. This morning, ask Him what He would have you to give. We appreciate all of you doing something this morning. I'm going to pray and you listen. If you're giving, just give, and you want credit for it, give an offering through the offering envelope. Father, we love you. We bless you and give you all the praise. We thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, giving us this time of fellowship and worship. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You will come back to hear Miss Callie. I'm sure it won't be long thereafter. So praise God. Let's all stand. Greet these couple guys, and we'll see you just in a moment after the break. Amen. How many of you would love to hear Sister Callie? Yay! Sister Callie, why don't you come on? Praise God. Hallelujah.
I want to be just like Jesus, and I want to be just like Him. Oh, I just want to be just like my Jesus, and I want to be just like Jesus, and I want to be just like Him. Church, I just want to be just like Jesus, and I want to walk just like Jesus, and I want to walk just like Him. Whoa, I just want to walk just like Jesus, and I want to talk just like my Jesus, and I want to talk just like Him. Whoa, church, I just want to talk just like Jesus, and I want to be just like Jesus, and I want to walk just like Him. Whoa, church, I just want to talk and walk and be just like Him. I want to walk and talk every day of my life and be just like Him. And I want to walk and talk and be just like Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time this morning. There was some prophecy. There was a prophetic exhortation. And many of these words, all of these words that are on that are prophetic, are being typed out, and Candy's doing an excellent job on that, and we appreciate the Holy Spirit working through her on that. It's usually just a week or two delay, and you can get these words and you can read them. There were some very powerful prophecies that came out when Pastor Dave was here concerning the church and us as individuals. You know, the Word of God admonishes us, actually through Paul's admonition to Timothy, to war with the words that were spoken over us. And I would encourage you, especially if something stands out, to wait a week or two and then request that prophecy. It's usually, it'll be typed out. Not every single individual prophecy. Help me, Candy, that I don't say something that's right. Okay. And you can take those. I've been reading some of them recently. They've been tremendous encouragement to myself, my own person. So I would encourage you to do that. Praise the Lord. I'm listening. All I hear is that He's pleased, and we've had a wonderful time. What a time of presence that came in that worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe I can go through another millennial just from this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to bless you in the Spirit and encourage you to have a wonderful week. And next week we'll have, I think the following week we'll have a time of for Christmas and those kinds of things. So praise God. Father, we love you. We've been so encouraged today. And you've come and you just put your arms around us and loved us, told us how much you're pleased with us, and then like a father that would kind of nudge us a little bit, just kind of get us out of the nest and say, okay, come on, you can do this. It's more than just about you. Let's go forward. And so we receive that admonition. We receive the words that are very, very powerful to us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We can recline. Our reclining is that really you're going to take care of everything for us. And because of that, all of our ambition is laid to rest in Christ. And now you turn that ambition to the world, turn it to the places where those that do not know you and are so much less fortunate at this time in their life can begin to receive. So we go out as ambassadors. We go out as high priest. We go out with the reality that Jesus, that you follow us. And that is something, you go in front of us. You go behind us. You're with us. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. We bless these. And we bless the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. We appreciate all of you that were here with us. Please come back and see us again. Amen.